Amen. Praise God. Well, let's take a moment and pray and ask for God's blessing here this morning. Father, we thank you for this moment. I do humble myself, Lord, and recognize that I, in and of myself, have nothing good to say, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask that you speak through me. Give to your people. Lord, I sense just a tremendous hunger for you to speak. And Lord, only you can do that miraculously. Lord, I ask that you anoint my lips, Father, as I share your word, that it would penetrate people's hearts and let them know that you are there, you are working, that you are answering questions, and Lord, you are carrying them. You are carrying them in the mighty name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen, amen. I was kind of, I could continue on, but bring to a conclusion this series that we started a few weeks ago, and then we had our Good Friday service and Resurrection Sunday, and then the egg hunt, what a tremendous blessing that was, and all those that participated in that, and were able to share the gospel to over 140 kids that come through a skit and loving on people, and a majority of the people are not, probably a lot of them don't go to church, or they maybe attend other places, but they came to Harvest, and they were familiarized with the church building and its people. About close to 100 church members came out just to serve. Thank you, church. Thank you for ministering to all those people, showing the love of Christ. Amen. I just have a quick announcement, too. We will have communion today, and we'll come forward for that. But we have church 101 after the service. Is that correct? And in the meeting room there, it's a brief meeting where you get to know the staff, a little bit more about the church. If the Lord you're feeling is pulling on your heart, tugging on your heart, that you should tie in and be a part of Church for the Harvest. Just being at that meeting doesn't mean you become a member, but it familiarizes you with the church and our church structure and the ministries here at Harvest. So we'd love for you to attend that brief meeting. And then also Sunday the 21st, I know we'll get out this week. Heron we have next week, but we'll get out this week for a security team, kind of an onboarding meeting. That'll be on the 21st, so two Sundays from now. So all of you that had fun and went out and did the security training, we're going to be talking to you on that, and that'll be on the 21st. And I said I'd have breakfast for you. Yeah. Okay, thank you. That's a good thing, you know? Come to eat, amen? So we'll have a sign-up sheet for that, or a way you can say, hey, I want to be a part of that. And we'll explain more about that, what that role is there, and about even some background checks and all of that. So just invite you to be a part of that as the security team continues to grow. Amen. So I want to talk to you about the wisdom of God's timing as we continue in our series. I titled the series Anticipation because I don't think people would be excited if I titled it Waiting. I don't know about you, but I don't like to wait. And when it came to patience and one of those fruits of the Spirit, I think I missed out on that. Am I speaking to anybody? Usually I was the type of a guy when I look at all the checkout lines, I look for the one that had the shortest, and I'd go there, they would say, trainee in session, you know? So when they had auto checkout, And some people deliberately love to go in the lines with people because they just love to talk with people. Come on, somebody. And I'm usually like, where is those instant checkouts? Because I've got a goal. I've got something I'm doing. Let me hear what I'm saying. And so I just gave you a definition of anticipation and I explained that last week. Maybe you can help me with this here in this PowerPoint. The act of looking forward, pleasurable expectation, a feeling of excitement about something that is going to happen in the near future. And so when we talk about the wisdom of God's timing, we have to trust God in the seasons where we feel like he has been silent. My text is Isaiah 40:31, those who wait, somebody shall wait. That word wait is not like a passive. It's a verb. It's an action. It's those who wait, like if you go to a restaurant and someone comes and waits on you, okay? And what are they doing? They're taking your order. There's an action involved. It isn't like just waiting on the Lord. Yeah, I've been waiting on God. Well, how long have you been waiting? About 35 years. Still waiting on the Lord. Now, how many know a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day? So time with God is, it's just, you know, for us. But just the waiting part, it's an active part. It's not a passive. How many see that? Say amen. And so it actually explains it. The Amplified says, those who expect, look for, hope in him will gain new strength. So there's something important about this anticipation, this having this passion, this waiting in the seasons that seem like they're dry and they're silent and they're quiet, that we gain strength through that. And only God can do that. They renew their power. They'll lift up their wings. It says, rise up close to God like eagles rising toward the sun. They will run and not become weary, and they will walk and not grow tired. And so there's this attitude of expectation, excitement for the future that's going to carry us through the difficult times. How many see that? Say amen or oh me. And so here's what I found, and I'm just quickly recapping from the last few weeks, that impatience is triggered when we have a goal and realize it's going to cost us more than we thought to reach it. And that's why when you have a goal and there's something you want to do, a lot of times that's where I struggle with impatience. I built a number of houses. There are certain things that have to happen before you can do something else. You have to set up the walkway with rebar, pack it, compact it. How many hear what I'm saying? Get it prepped. That's a lot of back work, a lot of forms, forming the forms before that cement truck comes. How many know when the cement truck comes, if you're not ready, concrete is unforgiving? It's just in building and construction. So there are certain things, and so there's times where, like, I got to get this done. I get up to, it has to get done today. Then the phone rings. Something happens. Something pulls you. So now I'm impatient. Am I speaking to anybody? I'm impatient because I've got a goal and I got to get it done. And so that's just kind of in the natural. And so, but here's kind of how I summarized this series. I said there is actually something happening spiritually in the spirit realm when what seems like nothing is happening in your life. In other words, God really is working on behalf of you while you're waiting. Isn't that comforting to hear? But you, it is. It's comforting to hear. God's timing is always perfect, always. And that's usually hard for us to grasp, that waiting period, because our knowledge of time is very limited. And as I shared, and I shared a little about myself, but patience doesn't come naturally, but it is a gift of God. And how many know, as a Christian, watch this, every single believer has the ability to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. Well, that's, you know, I can't just use an excuse as like, well, I really, patience wasn't high when God was delivering that out. And so you just have to put up with my impatience. No, I need to rise higher. Amen? You know, kindness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, temperance, self-control. Come on, somebody. Amen? These are things we rise above. We don't bring the Word of God down. We rise to that. We rise to that. And I said this also, when God says no, he's not rejecting us, but he's protecting us. I want that to mull over. Think about that in things past in your life. And you're like, I was really praying about that. I was hoping that was happening. I was hoping that relationship with him or her was going to work out, but it didn't work out. Then you look back 20, 30 years, you go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And you hug your husband and your wife right now. Amen. And so God is really there, his loving protection, and he wants us to consult him about everything. But here's the thing, if we insist on having our way, we're asking for trouble if we want it, our way in our time. But when we are patient, we are calmly tolerating the delays that just come in our life. And there's a lot of delays, but God is aware of them. And so I kind of ended last week with this first point we hit on. While you're waiting, and we talked about the silence, things to remember as you're waiting, there's this season of silence. And even the season of silence, God is concerned about our character. Did you hear that? He's concerned about our character and what's built within our spirit, man or woman, and in our ability to really reflect Christ in our daily life. Amen? And so what he does is he uses these waiting periods to prepare godly character in us. All right? So that's why there's a lot of seasons, it seems like, of waiting. And then I would throw out a golden nugget or a key to help you through that difficult time is Hebrews 11:27, which is an amazing verse. It says this, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. So perseverance, not throwing in the towel, staying in, you know, in the game, all right? Leaning in, even though difficult, sad times, tragic times, difficult times, taxing times in our life and our soul, we don't throw in the towel because we see him who is invisible. How many know who that is? That's God. So there's something about a relationship, so Moses saw it. But I just want to say that it says, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. Well, initially, after we talked about a few weeks ago when he killed the Egyptian, buried him in the sand, he fled and he was afraid. That's not what he's talking about. He said Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, when he went to the Exodus, the promised land. See, he had experienced the burning bush. Come on, somebody. He saw the Lord. The Lord spoke to him through this burning bush. And so he had faith. And so he knew when he left in faith. He wasn't afraid of Pharaoh. He wasn't afraid of him. So he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Actually, that word in the Greek saw him means horaia. It means actually to see with the mind, spiritually see, to perceive, to observe, to give attention to. And so there's something about envisioning. There's something about that what's powerful is when we envision and we have our quiet time with the Lord. We're experiencing God. He speaks to our spirit, man and woman. That is so important. That's what it means to see him who is invisible. You draw near to the Lord. Can I get an amen? All right? So we're steadfast in that. So very quickly, that was just a recap. Let me just quickly go through these next 2 points. And so while we are waiting, another thing God is doing and building within our lives is he's preparing our skills and our abilities. So on one hand, he's molding us, he's shaping us, he's taking away our pride and our dependency on ourselves. But on the other hand, he's preparing us with abilities and skills that he wants us to receive as he's called you. He has things in store for you that he has to, let me say it this way, he has to train you in. I'll give you some examples in a moment. Bible scholars say when the prophet Samuel came to the house of Jesse to anoint him king over Israel, David, to anoint David. David was around 10 to 15 years old, somewhere around that. And he was caretaking of the sheep. He was left out. Jesse didn't even consider him. He goes, I got another son. He's out contending with the sheep. Bring him in. He was anointed as king. But he did not immediately become king. He had to wait till he was 30. So there was a period anywhere from 15 to 20 years, nothing happened. But something was happening, okay? Something was happening. David had to learn how to slay a lion and a bear, save the sheep, all right? A lot of psalms were brought out of that in songs that are written. David was getting to know his God, all right? So stuff was happening during those days, what was happening. And then he began to work for Saul. Saul would call him in, and he would play the harp and music, and God was preparing him first under the king himself, and so he was kind of like an apprentice under King Saul. He was learning what it was like to be in the kingdom. He was just a shepherd boy, and he's thrust into this position in the king's court. I mean, he needed to learn how to sit at the table. How to eat. There was a lot of natural things he had to experience during those days. And so we know that David's first victory was he used the sling and a few stones. But when he became king, he never used the sling and stones again. Okay? He actually trained. He had to be trained and fully equipped as a soldier. And he attributes the training to God alone. He knew it was God who gave him those skills at that training time. So God prepares your skills and your abilities, even though it may seem like it's a season of silence and it's like nothing is happening, but something is happening because I really believe we're so unique, each and every one of us, that God has a plan for our life. Now, a lot of times we make the plan demonstrative. In other words, like, we're going to go take the world by storm. How many know raising godly kids is a monumental thing today? to raise them to fear God. So moms, lean into that and know that this is such a high calling. So my wife, she assisted me where we, you know, a lot of the administration when we were youth pastors for about a decade, and she helped with that, but she was able to be home with our kids. And she was able to be to teach them and to train them, to love on them and to discipline them. How many know that's not a bad word? Amen? In love, biblically speaking, all right? And so equipping in the same way God equips us before he blesses us. And here's the thing. In the midst of, let me say this, with the equipping, we need to learn to be humble. So they're interconnected. So there's a humility, because God will bring you to a place of honor, but you're really not in a position to lead there. You're there to be an apprentice and to grow. And it may be a job. Why did I take this job? Drove an hour this way, an hour back, whatever. What am I going to learn from that? How is that going to help me? And maybe there's interaction with people. Maybe there's skills. Maybe there's a discipline. I don't know. But I trust the Lord that, and you have to trust the Lord, that he uses that for a reason. Even for your life, I think of like before we came out from Boston, to here to Minnesota. We were here from Minnesota, went back out to Boston. I worked up in Concord, Mass. And so I had to drive all the way up there to Concord. And it took forever, it seemed, to get up there. And but we witnessed to the owner, who was former bank. He owned a bank. He had a pristine pay. And I'm like, why did you do dry cleaning? I said, I don't know, but we were able to witness to him. There was a time and season we were in Dallas that we worked for a Muslim couple, very devout Muslim couple, and they his wife would go to the mosque at 4 a.m. And I'm thinking, Lord, why do you have us here? And it was hard work. It wasn't easy. It was hard work. 100 degrees down there in Texas, been there doing, around a perchloroethylene and just all these other crazy, the heat and clothes and all of this. It's like, why? But we had an opportunity before we left to hand a Bible to this woman as a gift, because we built up a reputation being good employees. Oh, let me say that again. We built up a reputation being a good employees. Amen. Showing up. And we were able to have an entrance into her soul. What she did with that, I don't know. But her and her husband heard the gospel. Amen? And so I think of, it was actually the summer of 1993. And I remember the day specifically, and I believe I have this day right. I'd go back and check the calendar, but it was a Monday, August 2nd, 1993. So how do you remember that? It was the first day that we came, and I started at 27 years old, working in youth ministry in Ashby at the church at the time was called Country Bible Church. It's Destiny Church with Pastor Steve. And we traveled from Boston in our budget truck, drove all the way out here. About three quarters of the way, I leaned over to my wife. I said, what does a youth pastor do? I knew nothing about that. And she's like, okay, we're in trouble. I had no understanding. We're like, what am I doing? I mean, I had ministry training and it was a graduate Bible school and had a theology degree, but I just didn't know what they do in youth. But we just dove into everything. Missions we led, and I drove an old church van, drove it all the way down to New Orleans, Mardi Gras, brought teams, and I mean, it was just like 30 hours just taking trips. We took a trip with the youth, almost 30 or 40 youth. We had three vans, drove all the way down to the border in Arizona and had a mission trip and helped a pastor and did some construction. I mean, I think at that time, Zach was so little, he fit in a motorcycle helmet. I took a picture of him, and we just loaded everything up. And on top of that, my wife did treatment foster care for PATH, and we brought some of those kids with, and we just live life. How many hear what I'm trying to say? We just moved forward and trusted the Lord in that, but it was there was a limitation. I was learning, I was growing, I was, and then the Destiny Center came along in that role in 1998, and I just helped with that. I poured concrete there and set up the forms, and what else did they need? All the ceiling needed black drywall. I sprayed all the ceiling and got all the equipment for the weight room. I got the mats at Fleet Farm for the rubber mats. They're still there today. I mean, like, it's just all these little things God was training to help. How many know someday he knew we were going to build a building here? Amen? And what was to take place. And so we were confident in that, but we were confident in our God. How many with me? Say amen. So he was training and preparing me. And not just that, just in the natural, but in ministry. I think some of the most challenging people to speak to are youth. Now, children, they bounce around and whatever, but you can hug and smile on them. But youth, they're going to go, if they don't like you. Come on, somebody. Where's Kim? She'd say amen to that. Anyone's involved in youth ministry, you know what I mean? It's just hard. I mean, it's like, how do you? And so I'd do all kinds of crazy things and illustrations and bring chainsaws in, and we'll just try to get their attention, just limited, but pouring into them, doing the best I can. I was learning. Hopefully it's entertaining for you, but spiritual, more important. Amen. There's a verse here in 1 Peter 5:6. Once again, when it talks about humility, it says, humble yourselves. So that's something we do. Watch this. Therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you in due time or in due season. Due season actually means the proper time. In the time of your visitation, every single one of you has a season, a time of visitation, where God shows up and moves. You feel like, what's happened? Sometimes it lands just in one moment or one day. I'll talk about that in a moment. But he says, lift you up. We are to take a low place, it says. And then he will lift us up. He will exalt us to a place of honor. And I believe that he has that for every single one of us if we humble ourselves. And we got to continually do that. I remember there was a time, I want to say it was probably around 2012. I took my son to, it was a gentleman that wanted to be a missionary. And it was in Oaxaca, Mexico. And we flew all the way down there. And while I'm down there, I really had no control, if I could say it that way, over that trip. I just showed up with my son, who was probably 12, 13 years old at the time. So we show up there, and I just, in the natural, just me, I felt, man, this thing is so disorganized. I mean, they're running around. There's 18-year-old kids running it. Nobody knows what's going on. And then it was chaotic to me. I was frustrated, all right? And so I think we're Oaxaca in the mountains. It's like 5,000 elevation. And so it was hot. And here's the thing. There's no running water. So the only running water is they catch it in a basin. And so then if the water runs out and there's no rain, you don't have no water. And so at that time, there's like, well, if we had a generator, we could get water. I called the church, raised money, and we sent a generator down there. We bought a generator while I'm there. I was like, we got water now. And so they're like, oh, it was great. And so I was like, what am I going to do while I'm there? Come on, you know. And my son was watching me, and I was getting frustrated. I'm like, I got to watch my attitude. It's impressionable to my son how I handle this. Because at one moment, I was like, I'm out of here. Get on a plane and leave. I didn't do that. I stuck it out. I persevered. And I remember, I went to these kids. I was like, what do you want me to do? They're like, well, we got a pig, literally, and it needs a pig pen. Talk about low. I said, okay, I can lay block and I'll put a pig pen in for this pig. And so I literally went out. My son was helping. We built a pig pen. And I felt happy. You know, I was getting a nice tan. It was really hot. And I was just like, I made it through. But, you know, how many know we got to humble ourselves? And there will be times and seasons you get frustrated. You're just like, why is this happening to me? Everyone is against me. God is training you. He's teaching you. He'll bring you through. Let's pass the test. Because if you don't, how many know yet? Go right or back around. So when I go through difficult stuff in the Lord, help me, Jesus. I don't want to go this route again. I don't want 40 years of this. Can I get amen? I mean, I don't want that. Glory to God. So in the waiting, try not to despise the mundane things. It's easier said than done. But I'm here to encourage you in that. God has future skills that he needs built in you. He does. Built in you that'll help and bless not just his kingdom, but your life. Your life. I remember my father-in-law wanted to open up in Kensington. He was an architect and general contractor. And he wanted to do a little chicken coop and turn it into a construction. So I helped him with that and helped him with all the construction on that. And that was a learning curve that actually blessed me down the road when I did my own houses and built them. So quickly, number three, God prepares circumstances as we are waiting. God prepares circumstances as we are waiting on him. I want to quickly delve into the story of Queen Esther, and we're going to receive communion here in a bit. But in Esther chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, it says, and I'll explain this here in a moment. It says, that night, the king could not sleep. So he ordered the book of the Chronicles and the record of his region to be brought in and to read it. And it says this, it was found, recorded there, that Mordecai had exposed Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's officers or guards who guarded the doorway, who had conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. So there was a record that these two guys wanted to take out. And this is a story, the whole story, you can read it, you know, just the chapters in the book of Esther, how God used her and Mordecai, her uncle, to save the Jews from Haman. And so these two guys were going to conspire and kill. And so Mordecai went and told someone, said, you know, these guys want to kill you. So they hung these guys. And it was written in this chronicle, in this book, closed, put away. Okay, I want you to see that. Now, Esther 6:3, fast forward here, it says this verse says, what honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this? The king asked. Nothing has been done for him, his attendants answered. The king said, who is in the court? Now, Haman, who hated him, hated the Jews, and had set up an ordinance that all of the Jews would be killed, destroyed, because he hated them. That's the Antichrist spirit that's still prevalent today, okay? Hated, and it says this, he just happened to enter the court of the palace to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the pole that he had set up. And so here's the thing. The way God works is so interesting. We're talking about the timing of the Lord. This is what you need to see. As per the end of the previous chapter, Haman was busy throughout the previous night. He's setting up these gallows. He wants Mordecai to be hung on these gallows. And incidentally, the same night, say this to me, say the same night. The same night, insomnia strikes the king. He can't sleep. What are the coincidences of that? He just couldn't sleep. So he calls for this book of the Chronicles to be read, and the book of Chronicles presumably was a book of like legal decisions of battles won and of tribute paid. And it's kind of like a bedtime read for the king. You know, it's something like counting sheep. You know what I mean? Just read this so I can fall back to sleep. Well, there comes a portion, as we read, where sometime back it is written that Mordecai saved the king's life from a murder plot. It didn't dawn on him. It was written in there. King really just, it just didn't dawn on him. And Mordecai wasn't honored for his good deeds. So king in that moment is awakened. It's like, wait a minute, what has been done? And Persian, a little history says, Persian emperors were renowned for generously honoring all those who did great deeds or service to the king, but nothing was done for Mordecai. And it was written in the Chronicles. He saved the life of the king? Xerxes is like, what has been done for this man that was so faithful? And so this book that was supposedly used to put him to sleep, all the thoughts of his sleep are gone and something needs to be done immediately. And so the king says, who is in my court? Who is in my court? Well, Esther 6:4, talking about the timing of the Lord. Now, Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the pole he had set up for him. Talking about the timing of the Lord. I want you to notice how precise God is even in our lives. Watch this. The king couldn't sleep. We know why. The plan of God was taking place. He's up all night. And he's reminded of what Mordecai did to save his life. So the king calls in for an advisor. And he's going to set this situation right. And so Haman, who's unusually early showing up, because he has an agenda to kill Mordecai, walks in the court. And Haman probably couldn't wait any longer to tell the king of his plan that we need to hang this Mordecai. He's in insubordination, and he doesn't bow before me, this Jew, and we're going to take him out. So the king just asks him and says, what should be done for the man the king delights to honor? So because of pride in Haman's life, he goes, wow, that's probably me. what should be done? I'll tell you, king, what should be done. Hammond thinks, well, you should put your royal robe on that man. Okay. You should ride the king's horse, have the royal crest placed on his head, and someone shout, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. The king goes, that is a great idea. Put it on Mordecai, and you lead the charge. I'm like, that's insane. You can't make this stuff up. And you lead the charge shouting this throughout. Bow the knee. Mordecai is the man that the king honors. He came to, he brought the gallows in to hang this guy. How many see the timing of the Lord? Wow. And so what does he do? He does that on behalf of the king. And then it says that after that happened, Hammond was in disgrace and he ran and he hid himself and he goes to the queen to beg and the king's men come upon him and she just screams like, he's trying to assault me. And they grab him out and they hang him on the gallows he prepared for Mordecai. Talk about something turning around in a moment, in a moment. That is the wisdom of God's timing. And it's a beautiful reminder of this proverb, as the Bible says, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. A woman's heart plans her ways, but the Lord directs her steps. Amen? Fill in the blanks there. For what God is directing our steps. I talked a little bit earlier, but it was the spring of 1993. I'm almost done here. We're going to conclude. I took a job at a dry cleaning plant in Concord, Mass. And, you know, if you're in Minnesota, you say, well, how far do you live from work? Oh, I live 15 miles. It's 15 minutes. Come on, somebody, if you're on a high, you're on a back road or whatever. Some of you, it's shorter. Anyhow, but it's like, oh, it's no big deal because you can straight shop. But if you're in a city and you're 15 miles, that's at least 45 or 50 minutes, you know, stop and go and traffic. And so for me, Concord, from where I live from Stoughton, was just 31 miles, but it took an hour and a half sometimes. Sometimes I remember I'd be sitting in traffic 2 hours to get up there. So I'd get up 4 a.m. to beat the traffic of the Boston traffic. And it was an awful time in my life. And I felt my life is over. My life's over. I just, the passion, the dreams in my heart, the call of ministry, going to theology training, getting my degree, meant nothing. Wasted my time. Wasted. I am here making bricks for Pharaoh. Come on, I want you to feel that. I want you to feel that. Because some of you feel that right now. I'm making bricks for Pharaoh, and he took the straw away. I got to go find my own straw now. Watch this. And so in that moment, I actually well up. It's about 100 degrees there. Got all this huge pile of clothes I'm spotting, and I actually just broke down. It's like, I'm done, Lord. I can't. I mean, if this is what you called me to, okay, but I'm done. And the Lord, not audibly, just spoke in my spirit. And it was this word. He said, in 90 days, you'll step into the beginning of what I have for you. You'll be in ministry. I cried and went, I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. I'm sick. You're making me crazy. My mind's going crazy. I'm going to check myself into a nut house. This is nuts. That was May 1993. By August 2nd, I stepped into that office in youth ministry. We drove all the way back out. I went, how could that be? How it was an impossible situation. Actually, Brad and Nancy were very involved, instrumental in that. They're the ones that talked to the pastor. So if you're going to blame anything on them. God used them mightily. They used them mightily. And I came out and interviewed for that position. I was part of the church before, built up a reputation there. Steve knew me, the ministry team there. And here I'm in my late 20s at this time, just a young kid. And I just started out in that. So here's the point this is what I'm important. I'm a conclusion with this. This is the honest to God truth. My wife is a witness, okay? We're in Stoughton. She knew about this phone call because I think Nancy spoke with her. She didn't tell me. So for 2 weeks, I'm still going to work for Pharaoh, you know, and in here, I'm like, my life is over. And she said, you know, Steve's going to be calling you. I'm like, what's Steve going to call me for? He's like, well, they have a youth pastor position and they wonder if you consider it. I went, what? I'm not going back out there to Minnesota. I literally like that, that'd be like falling back. But it's like, what? I don't even know youth mission. I was all blah, 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 blah. She's like, well, whatever. Just pray about it. And so Steve calls on the phone. I think this is still 93. So the phone still had the long cords extended. Come on, somebody, you know, some remember, some of you still have that. And you're like, I'm like, hold on. But you did have call waiting. We did have that feature back then. I just want you to know. And so I'm talking to Steve, and then someone's beeping. I said, Steve, could you just give me a second here? Let me click. Click. It's the man who got my father started in dry cleaning. This guy was the Jimmy Hoffa of New England dry cleaning. Mob ties. He's a Jewish man. Actually, his last name was Rich Man, literally. And he's like, hey, I got a job from you. I hear you looking. I got a business for you. I got stuff. I got stores everywhere. I'm like, okay, is this like a mafia deal here, whatever? Literally. And he's like, and so we went, you know, went to his house. I know we've been to his house before. Huge house, immaculate lawn, was like manicured, 7-car garage. The guy owned a DeLorean because he wanted to. Some of you can Google that later, what that is, if you've seen Back to the Future. Come on. And I'm like, wow. I was like, this guy. I said, hold on, Jerry. I'll call you back. Click, click. So, Steve, tell me about what you have for me. And then we hung up. And so here I am. That one decision could have taken me in different directions. But how many know in that moment, you got to hear from God. He saw this. I didn't see this. He sees. He knows. He perceives. But in the moment, we got to hang on. We got to be steady. Stand with me if you would, please. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're able to bring up this next slide. Okay, scripture says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust and rely confidently on the Lord. Ushers, you can come forward and help set up for communion if you would, please. Trust in, rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him. He will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. Wow, that's a good word. He will remove, I got to do this, I got to do that. If I don't get my foot, or if I don't this, if I don't that. Yeah, there is an exertion. We're not supposed to be lazy slugs, amen. To wait upon the Lord means you're busy. You're busy. You're doing everything you can. But you ultimately have to trust not in your own strength and wisdom. You're going to say, Lord, you're going to direct me. You're going to direct me. And as we conclude with this last slide, there is actually something happening. And you think nothing is happening in your life if you trust the Lord. Every head bowed here this morning. You're here this morning and say, Pastor, I'm not right with the Lord. I believe in God. I mean, I came to church, but I really don't have this assurance of salvation. God forbid, if something was to happen to you, you were to die, you don't know. The Bible says these things are written in the word that you may know you have eternal life. God wants you to know. He wants you to have assurance. And so he will place that assurance in your spirit, man or woman. When you repent and you invite Christ in to be Lord of your life. Only you can do that. You have a choice to do that. No decision is a decision. And so today in this holy moment, you say, Pastor, I've never really, I mean, I believe in God, but I never really knew I needed to surrender my life. I didn't know that. The Spirit of God is speaking to you in this holy moment. With every head bowed, you say, Pastor, that's me. I would like to lead us all in a prayer of repentance and salvation. And if that's you, pray this prayer with all your heart. Invite Christ in and watch and see him save you, cleanse you, forgive you, and give you eternal life. Say this to me. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I invite you as Lord and Savior in my life. Today, I give you my life. Now take it. Jesus, I believe, died on that cross from my sin. Jesus, thank you for saving me. I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen.